Well, I've been preaching on Sundays of this November on thanking God, giving thanks. And today we're going to talk about thanking God for His help. Now listen carefully. I don't have just one text of Scripture. I've got four verses, and I'm going to give them to you as I bring you the message today. You've heard it said that a good sermon's got 3 points in a poem. I couldn't come up with a poem, so I got 4 points. Okay, is that fair? But on a more serious note, one of the great blessings of November is not only that we have made an attempt collectively to emphasize in our hearts to be thankful, we've learned we've got more to be thankful for than we can shake a stick at. I mean to tell you, God has just blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And a great part of that blessing in November is that we have heard from some of our folks as they have given testimony in these services. It is my joy to ask Eddie Corson to come and give a word of testimony. Eddie and his family are members of this church. We love them. I want you to welcome Eddie at this time. Would you do that? Now, Eddie told me, out of full disclosure, "Pastor, I don't do this kind of thing very good." And I said, "Don't worry about it. Anybody in the congregation would love to come do this, and nobody's scared of anything." Eddie, we all identify with that. So you're at home, and we love you.
So like he said, whenever he first asked me to do this, there was so many things that I could say that I was thankful for and that God has blessed me with. Just to start with, I'm thankful that He laid a path before me and that He was always placing stones in my path to bring me to where I'm at today. My family wasn't a typical church-going family. We never did go to church as a family. There was an Eastside Baptist church that sent around a bus, and they would come pick us, me and my brother, up, and that's where we kind of started going to church. And then I had an uncle, my Uncle Joey, that would come and pick me up and take me. And then I kind of went away from that again and didn't go to church for a while. And then finally I started going back to a Southview Church of God where Brother Pastor Martin kind of helped me and brought me back a little bit. And then I got a little older and got to be a teenager and went away again. But he finally brought me back about 5 years ago. He brought me to where he's brought me now, and which is a 180 spin from where I was. I'm very thankful that God graced me with His grace and His mercy that I didn't deserve, and He gave it to me whenever I started listening to what He had to say. I'm thankful for the deliverance from who I was to who I am today, and that He changed my life, and that I can live for Him now, and that I'm totally a world apart from where I was. I'm very thankful, and I love my family, that I have a great wife that God has blessed tremendously with the gift of discernment and service, and she's the glue that holds our family together, and our children that love God, and they want to live for God, and they want to live in His ways. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church. When we came here, we felt right at home. We had been to a bunch of different churches, but when we came here, we just felt loved and at home. I mean, the Goffs and the Holtons, Miss Marinelle, Fred Goff, they all just made us feel right at home. Very thankful that God continues to grow me every day. I'm not perfect by any means. I've did a lot of bad things in my life. I went down a lot of wrong roads. But He has brought me a lot closer to where He wants me to be today. I'm thankful for this church and the leaders and teachers at this church, Pastor Wayne, and the word that he brings every day that's always real relatable and understandable, for the teachers that help the kids and the workers, that help guide us, protect us, the greeters, the singers, the choir and orchestra, the office staff that keeps the church running smoothly. I'm thankful for the godly men of this church that have been placed in my life. Pastor Wayne, Brother Scott, my Sunday school teacher, Elon Reeves, Dixon Goff, Jeffrey Jones, they've all been major influences and shown me a lot of different ways of thinking that I didn't see before. I'm thankful for everything that God has done in my life and for my family, through the good and through the bad. He's made a way for me and my family, and I'm looking forward to what God will do in the future for my family and for Morningside.
Amen. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. God bless you. Folks, did you notice he said in the early part of that testimony he was thankful for the stones that God put in his pathway? We don't often say, Lord, I praise you for the hindrances that you brought in my life. And if it hadn't been for some divine hindrances, we all were foolish enough to have destroyed ourselves. Aren't you glad that God said, nah, young man, hang on just a minute. I'm going to interrupt that, and there'll come a day you'll be glad I did. Aren't you glad of that? Praise his name. You will hear from time to time men and women make statements of certain people who have impacted their life. Let me tell you what a smart person would do. Go to that person, like in this case, Eddie, and say, what did they do that was meaningful to you? And let me tell you why I'm asking. I want to learn how to be that type of person. We want to learn how to have an impact in the lives of people. And so that would be good for any of us to do. Don't think there's anything special about the people's names that he called. They're only special because they made themselves available. And however God used somebody else, he can use you. You are as usable as anybody else.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Okay, I want to talk to you this morning on that subject of thanking God for his help. Have you considered the many ways? I want you to kind of let your mind be clean just a moment, and let's get our heart focused on how God has helped us. Would you pray with me for just a moment? Father, we've got 1,000 things that can distract us right now. And I recognize that that can be anything from the man and woman that's seated in front of us, beside us, behind us, to what's going to take place this afternoon, whatever that is, to something that may have happened yesterday, whatever that was. But in this moment, oh God, we want our first, foremost, and uppermost thought to be on you. So give us an understanding and bring back to our remembrance things that we may have forgotten, in order that we might be more grateful as we consider the many ways you have helped us. We make this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Where did you go that time and something bad happened to somebody, but it didn't happen that way to you? Where were you when that call came that someone you know had a place that was on fire, but your place wasn't on fire? Where were you that time when thus and so happened? And had you left in that moment you were wanting to leave, you would have been right there when that accident took place. That may have been one of those stones that Eddie was referring to. And you were hindered from leaving somehow by providence. And you may have gotten a little bit upset over the fact that you were hindered. You may have even acted a little bit ugly to a family member or a friend because they were causing you to run late. Have you considered the ways that God can help you, and maybe more importantly today, the ways that God has helped you? What about that time when there was a situation and your doctor said something to you and you were given a report that's not good, and you went through some type of treatments or process of medical treatment that had an impact upon your life, but you knew someone else had the diagnosis you had and they didn't live? Have you thanked God for his help? What about that time when maybe in your life or someone very close to you, they said, this does not look good, and if you want the family to see them, you need to call them now? God stepped in and helped. Why is it, I had a man in the military say this to me. I was speaking at a men's conference, and they called on someone to testify, and so he gave this testimony right before I spoke. He said, you know, I wondered for years as I served in Vietnam, why did I have friends on this side literally standing by me take a bullet and die, and literally on other occasions friends take a bullet and die, but some reason I came home. Has God ever helped you in any way? You see, the first time that we don't get to park in place at Walmart we would prefer, we can grumble about it and forget all the ways that God has helped us that are absolutely inexplainable other than His great mercy. It was only just a few weeks ago, two or three, that the people whose property borders mine and Beth's backyard, he unexpectedly died. We saw him at 1 o'clock at a restaurant. He was dead that night. This past week, a neighbor two or three houses down the street unexpectedly died. Nobody died at my house. Why has God seen fit to be so merciful and helpful to some when it appears that He might not be toward others? I didn't say He wasn't toward others. The point of us thinking about God's help, have you thanked Him today for the untold blessings that belong to you and me that even got us here? Do you know how many people this morning couldn't get out of bed? Do you know how many people, if they got them up out of bed, they sat them in a wheelchair, and they couldn't do one thing on their own, couldn't take care of their personal hygiene, couldn't do anything for themselves? But God has let you and me be here today. Yes, I'm talking about thanking God for His help. And then have you thanked Him that if you do know Him, hallelujah, I've been washed. I'm not all I should be, but I've been cleansed. I am not all I should be, but I am being sanctified. And I've had some times when I had no doubt in my mind I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I have made a public confession of my faith and gone through water baptism to obey God because I love Him. And I want to thank Him for His help of saving grace, because without Him there wouldn't be any help. Well, I have boiled this down as I think of God's help into about four things. Number one, look in your Bible. I'll have it on the screen if you don't want to turn there. Philippians 3:13, the first part of the verse. And here's what I want to thank Him for. I want to thank Him that He permits us to leave our past behind us. Now, if we did what we wanted to do, we would shout a chorus of amens that God permits us to leave our past behind. Do I need to say that again? If we just wanted to and would, there's not a person in this room, unless they're 3 years old, that would not shout and thank God that He has let us leave our past behind. Here's what Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Boy, don't think for a moment I've arrived. I'm not everything yet I'm supposed to be. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You say, Pastor, what was Paul talking about there? I think he was talking about anything that's an unpleasant thing to have to remember. Folks, if you don't let the past stay in the past, you're going nowhere in the future. In fact, you're not going to a dead end. You're already at one if you don't leave the past in the past. And I want to today thank God that He permits us to leave our past behind. Oh, I'm talking about that story that nobody knows about when you were 14 years of age and something happened with a family member and you. And you may have been considered a teen, but so maybe was the other person. And to tell the truth about it, one of the things I often say to people who bring to a pastor every imaginable thing, I often ask this question. Now, you're saying that this is a problem and that it's kind of worn on you as you get older, because let me tell you something, folks. Your past problems will wear on you and become greater if you don't learn how to leave your troubles yesterday in the past. And I ask this question. when that was taking place that was so wrong, was there a part of you that enjoyed that? And invariably, someone will say, well, yeah, for a while I enjoyed that. Well, folks, to enjoy wrong is to participate in it whether you started it or not. And if the full truth, let me quote Adrian Rogers, if the truth, the unvarnished truth was told on any one of us, you could turn the lights out and there'd be a glow of red in this building. Nobody has a good, perfect record. Nobody. The only one you can tell the truth about in the dark and there be no glow is Jesus, other than the glow of His holiness. Adrian Rogers said, if you knew the truth about your pastor, you wouldn't want to be a member of this church. And he said, while I'm at it, if I knew the truth about you, I wouldn't want to be your pastor. And isn't it amazing that God knows the truth on all of us? And in His mercy today, we thank God that we can leave our past behind. Now, how do we leave it behind? Do we leave it behind just by saying, "Oh, that was yesterday, and I'm not going to go back there. I don't want to even talk about that." No, you better talk about it to some degree with God, or you'll never be able to leave it there. You've got to deal with your past under the blood of Christ. You've got to believe that what God said about sin is true, both in the major impact of its effect on us and in the major impact of the forgiveness of His precious blood, who washes it away. And as far as God's heart is concerned with sin's penalty, it's as though it never happened. You've also got to come to grips that God's the only one going to do that for you. The devil will never let you loose from your past. He's going to remind you of it because he is an accuser. And listen carefully, he only accuses the brethren. Thank God that you can be accused. You belong to God. And we want to leave our past behind as we leave it under the blood of Christ. And the next time we are accused of it, you can tell the devil or whoever might bring it up, "You know, that's true. I'm ashamed. I can't even talk about that without being ashamed. But I'm happy to say to you that my gracious Lord and Savior permitted me to put that under the blood of Christ, and it has long been washed away and forgiven. I hope you can find it in your heart sometime to forgive me." You know what you'd make me feel like if I brought up your past and you said that to me? I'd say, "Is there any carpet anywhere I can crawl under? Because you just reminded me of how sorry I am to have brought up something that God has forgiven. And do you have any idea how God feels about me bringing up your past if He has forgiven it? God's not pleased with that at all. Not at all. Everyone has a past. Are you listening? Everyone has a past without God in their life. When you came to be a Christian, you didn't have God in your life. And then even after you have, in some sense, come to know Christ, there's never been a Christian who didn't make some decisions that were void of God when you made them. You say, "What do you mean void of God?" You didn't check in with God. You may not have checked in with God because you loved your flesh in that moment. In that moment, you wanted your way. You did something selfish, and you absolutely did the wrong thing, and you know you did. So everybody has a past without God in their life, and every Christian has in some way made decisions since they were saved that were void of God's wisdom when you made it. So today, I would suggest, church, let's say God permits us to be forgiven of our past and leave it behind, and we say hallelujah. You agree with that, church? Number two. Second thing I want us to talk about is that God gives us grace daily to deal with the present. Here's what the text of Scripture says in the book of Philippians 4:11. Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, not that I'm lacking, because I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." Now let me talk to you about this business of God gives us grace daily to deal with the present. Did you know that living is somewhat like walking? How do we walk? One step at a time. That's how we walk. Living is that way in that we live life one decision at a time. At a point in this service, I'm going to decide to walk off this platform. At a point in this service, I'm going to walk to the back of the building, or if you're coming in there, that's the front of the building. That's a discussion for another time as to whether that's the back or the front, okay? At some point in time, I will have greeted people, and I'm going to leave. At some point in time, I will say to my wife, I think we're going to do lunch today with at so-and-so. We'll make a decision on that, and we'll go wherever we've made a decision. At some point when I finished eating, I'm going to make a decision. Life is lived one decision at a time. And just as walking is one step at a time, sometimes in the decisions we make, all the decisions either aren't good or we thought they sincerely were good, but they didn't turn out good. For instance, anytime I decide to come off this platform, there is a possibility that I could slip and fall. And what I intended to be smooth and good did not end up smooth and good. So as we think about the grace that God gives us daily, living is like walking one decision at a time. And I might make decisions all day that are wonderful, both walking and spiritually. But this evening after church, I may be getting out of the car with my wife, and that decision caused me to fall on the concrete and hurt myself. My point is, you can have a day's worth of good decisions and still make a bad one. You can have a month's worth of good decisions and still make a bad one. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're sitting here this morning and you're 20 years old and you've been saved 10 years, or you're sitting here 90 years of age and you've been saved 85 years, none of your yesterdays is going to guarantee that there's a good decision all day today. I can't live on yesterday's decisions even when they were good. I need God to give me grace daily for the present tense. Even my problems yesterday that I have now forgot and put under the blood of Christ by repenting of them are past, and I don't have to be plagued by them, but the good decisions I've made, I can't get strength from them. I got to have grace today. So today, as we thank God for His help, we do thank Him that we can leave our past behind, but we also can thank Him that He will give us grace to live in the present. Every step in decision is a potential fall, as I've already illustrated. And just as physical strength and discretion is needed for walking, like, well, don't step on that. That could be slick. You could fall and break your neck. Don't do that. You need some physical strength, and you need some discretion to decide where to step. You need some spiritual strength, and you need spiritual discretion to know how to first act and then to know how to react. If you think about it, it's not that big a deal to know how to act. You know you ought to be gracious toward everybody. But, buddy, when somebody's not gracious toward you, you can flinch and knee-jerk and react and have said something or acted in a way that you wish you had let the former go and let the case be remembered for that rather than how you responded to it. And I'm going to say it again. You hadn't made enough good decisions to be guaranteed that your next one's going to be what it ought to be. There's not a person in this room, starting with me, that does not need daily grace to deal with the present. Dear God, before this day is over, I could act a fool, ruin my testimony, act in a way that the people would wonder. And folks, people are watching you. You don't think they are. They're watching you. And they pick up on every little thing. I think sometimes they see things that didn't happen, but that's a discussion for another time. I visited a lady one time who took part of my lunch and ate my lunch. And I said, ma'am? She said, I saw you and your wife at the mall one time. You came by the store where I worked, and you popped your finger at her. I almost said, say what, Willis? And she repeated it. I said, ma'am, it's entirely possible that on the phone at home, not wanting to break a conversation, Beth not paying attention, and I want to communicate something to her while I'm talking, I might do that. But to my knowledge, I have never, I've done worse things than that, but I have never popped my finger at her in my life. And I didn't fill this in. And it wouldn't be no big deal if she popped her finger at me or I did her. I wanted to go back to the school days. And I'm glad I didn't. What's it to you, writing a book? Well, when you get to the chapter that says, I don't care, put this in there. I'm glad I didn't do that. Not the most Christ-like thing you could do. But folks, the fact of the matter is, some of what I wanted to say and do, if it wasn't for grace present tense, there's no telling what any of us would say and do. Third thing I want to mention to you is, we thank God not only that we put our past behind and that He gives us grace every day to deal with the present. He walks with us through the valleys. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said. Let your conversation, that word conversation doesn't mean your speech, it means your whole way of living, be without covetousness. And while that doesn't necessarily spell out money there, I think the next phrase must have something to do with our potential of buying, because he said, now, and be content with such things as you have, whether that's something you could buy or whether that's your lot in life. For he has said, talking about Jesus, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It can't get so bad, Christ won't walk with you. You know, he's one of the, maybe the only one that I know, probably I've seen a mother or two that would walk with you but never give you any encouragement about what was happening. In other words, Christ has the capacity to love the sinner and hate the sin. The rest of us struggle with that a little bit. We hate the sin. If we're not careful, we have to come across with just how deeply disappointed I am that you're so sorry and no good. I'm so grateful that our Lord doesn't do that. He lets the sin tell us how sorry and no good we are. And that's one of the things sin does to everybody. That's why the past is such an issue. And he said, I want you to learn to live that you don't have to be covetous of something else, somebody else, some other way of living. I want you to be content with where I have you in life. I want you to be content with where you are. Because you have a Savior who said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Life, folks, has ebb and flow. You know how you're down to ocean and the waves go out and the waves come in. Ebb and flow, ebb and flow. Well, high points and low points. Life has ebb and flow, high points and low points. Life has successes, and I'm not talking to anybody in this room who hadn't had success over something. But life also has failures, and I'm not talking to anybody in this room that hadn't failed at something. And because we fail doesn't mean that we're consigned as being in God's eyes failures. Now, somebody may want to consign that to you. I always said, if Beth and I was married 49 years and 11 months and divorced, somebody would say, I told you they weren't going to make it. I heard it said of a former president that if he had a dog that he trained to walk on water, somebody would say, well, look at that stupid dog. It can't even swim. Just look at it. You know, folks, there's always somebody that can take the most positive thing and make negative out of it. Now, he will walk with us through life's valleys. What are life's valleys? Wonder what yours are or mine have been. Let me tell you what the deal is. Life's valleys are the low points where the things you thought you could count on are right now being put to the test. Did you hear my way I said that? I didn't say the things you thought you could count on, you can't count on it. I didn't say that at all. I said the low points are the times when the basics of life that you thought you could count on are being put to the test. Now, I wonder why God would do that. Well, primarily because until those basics you thought you could count on are put to the test, you don't know whether you can count on them or not. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And that's what testing is all about. For instance, God will take care of your needs. Well, have you ever been where you didn't have anything else? See what God did? Did somebody convince you that if you love God, there'll always be plenty of money in your pocket and it won't be more month at the end of the month than there was money? Folks, sometimes religious television does more to trip us up than anything. Did somebody tell you that if you love God, there'll never be a health challenge? And if you do end up with some health problems, I tell you what your problem is. It's back there when you did so-and-so, and this is God getting even with you. You wouldn't have that physical difficulty if you'd live for God like you ought to. Boy, that is so super spiritual. It stinks in the nostrils of God. Folks, can I tell you it rains on the most unjust people, but also on the most just people. Don't let the devil... I told somebody this morning something. Don't let the devil deceive you about that. I laughed at Bill Sturm, who somebody told him it was always somebody going to give him advice about his health. And they told him, said, you know, if you'll change the way you eat and you eat different, this was a health expert telling him this, said, you'll add several years to your life. He said, I've looked at those last years. They're not very good. I'm going to go ahead and eat like I want to. I'm going to go to heaven anyway. I got another one I want to tell you, and I might not should tell that on Sunday morning at church. It's hilariously funny. He had a certain type of cancer. I won't tell you what, but it was prostate. And a lady gets up in his face and said, if you'd eat right, you wouldn't have that. He said, lady, where I got cancer, ain't no food going through there. You just couldn't keep from laughing at that guy. Now, let me say this to you. Somewhere along the way, I hope this is as wrong as anything your pastor will ever tell you, but if you don't somewhere along the way come to a time when you have a child or a grandchild that breaks your heart over a moral decision they made, and moral decision is not just sex, it's telling the fattest lie could be told when there was no hope of it being proven true, somewhere along life's way, you're going to get your heart broke, particularly people who get their joys out of their children. Mom and Dad, I'm going to make this statement, and hope for, if you never heard it in here before, you'll hear it in here. You don't live to get your joys out of your children. You take the children who are a heritage from God to try to instruct them how to live for God when you're dead and gone. And if you get your joys out of your children, you are doomed for a heartbreak. And we at our ages, David the psalmist himself, so say scholars who are a lot smarter than I'd ever lived to be if I lived 100 lifetimes, David the psalmist was in his 50s when he pulled his immoral caper with Bathsheba. Your kids have got plenty of room to mess up while you're living and can absolutely go nuts when you're dead and gone. Don't get your thrills out of your children. Commend them, encourage them in their walk with God in preparation for what God wants for their life, but don't you live for them. Now, what are you going to do when your son comes home and says, I'm a homosexual? What are you going to do when your daughter tells you, I'm a lesbian? You know, Mom, Dad, I understand, but you don't understand. I don't believe that stuff. And that's invariably what they say, that stuff. And I imagine they could use another word rather than stuff. I don't believe that. What are you going to do? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go slam nuts and lose your mind, or you're going to remember that God will walk with you through your valleys, and you're going to trust Jesus to give you what your children never could have given you to start with. So today, as we thank God for his help, we're going to thank God that he walks with us through the valleys of life. One thing, that many things true, but one of the things true of every one of us, are y'all listening to me? before we die, none of us know what we're going to go through. I remember in 1987, Clifford Palmer made a statement to me. We were talking about a man and woman that we both had known, dear, dear people. And he said to me, Pastor, can I tell you something? He said, this is just the voice of an old man with experience talking to you. He said, they are as precious as you think they are, and I found the same thing to be true. But before we, to be true, but before we leave here, meaning this planet, they could have turned their backs on everything they're doing and no longer serve God. Don't think that that is permanent, though we pray every day it will be. You say, well, I think that's a sad outlook. It is a sad outlook if you don't think nobody's genuine, but it's not a sad outlook if that's where your joy is coming from, because most of us in this room can remember a time when somebody we knew were as faithful at the house of God as anybody in this room is right now, but they're not anymore. They quit on God. So, folks, our joys come from Jesus. He will walk with us through life's valleys. And can I have an amen? Last but not least, we thank God for His help. Not only that He permits us to leave our past behind, He gives us grace daily to deal with the present. He walks with us through valleys, but He keeps us focused on the future. How so, Pastor? Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Did you know that when God calls us in redeeming grace, did you know He plans for us, our old forebears called it the perseverance of the saints, He plans us to plow on and plow on and plow on and plow on and don't look back. You see, why is that? Are you listening to me? Nobody can erase yesterday's calamities. Nobody. With God's forgiveness, nobody need live in guilt over yesterday's sins. With God's fellowship, nobody needs to be hindered about doing God's will today. And with God's word, everyone can seek God's purpose for the remainder of this day and the tomorrows to come. In fact, the word of God lets us know that there is a thing called the blessed hope. I may even talk about that tonight as I get us ready for Christmas and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Look here, we're not talking about a remainder of life of religion. We're talking about a relationship with a God who wants to help us. And as much as He will deal with your past and let you deal with it, as much as He'll give you grace in the present, as much as He will walk with you through every valley, He is the God who will give you enablement to stay focused on your future. Folks, I just got through telling us that I don't have a clue what any of us will go through before we leave here. But I know what I'm going to do when I leave here. I'm going to a place that our Savior has gone to prepare for us. The best is yet to come. I may have bumps in the road before I get to that, but if I do, I believe the one who's prepared the place will prepare me for the bumps. And I believe that God who has stuck stones in the way of Eddie Corson's path to get him where he is now, and that same God who has put things of hindrance in our path to get us where we are now is the God who has led us safe thus far, and He will be the God, if we will follow, put our hands to the plow and not look back, He will be the God who will safely lead us home. I tell you, I'm just one today. I want to thank God for His help. I need it from yesterday. I need it for today. I need it for every valley. And I want to keep focused, folks. I want to finish well. Are you listening? I can't have my hands on the plow and finish well if I'm doing this all the time. If you want to guarantee to make a wreck out of your life, you try to follow God and keep looking out the back window. You're headed for a wreck. And people who generally wreck doing that not only hurt themselves, but they hurt some other people. Don't do that. This God will stay with you and direct you if you will stay with him. I thank him for his help. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's moving around except Brother David, who's coming to the platform to lead us in our hymn of invitation. I want to ask you a question, and I do want you to honestly respond. How many of you would say, Pastor, if I'm honest, I have no doubt in my mind God has helped me in my past. He has. I'll raise my hand as a testimony to God's help. Thank you. Now, I'm not asking for you to raise your hand now, but how many of you would say, Pastor, I'm not going to raise my hand in this room because you don't want us to, but before God, I want to raise my hand in my heart and say to the Lord, Lord, I need your help right now. And then tell him, Lord, as far as I can see it, I think I need your help with so-and-so. And then tell him, Lord, if I'm wrong about that, please forgive me. I'm just calling it like I see it, but if you see it different, I want to go with you. So, Lord, whatever I need help in, the greatest, would you help me today? In fact, Lord, I want to pray that as a pastor of this church. It could be I don't even know what my greatest need is. And I want to ask you. I want to go with you. Whatever you think, Lord, my greatest need is, would you ignore what I've said and do, Lord, what will be for your glory and my best as we continue this journey? And Lord, in this hour, I've noticed a lot of preachers and singers who seem to be looking back, making awful statements as a person of faith. Lord, I pray for them right now, and I pray that I won't be numbered among them before I leave here. Help us, O God, to be strengthened in faith and not lose faith and will and devotion and commitment. And Lord, maybe most of all, not lose our love for you. Lord, we do not want to lose our first love. So help us to live in a way that love will abound in us and we'll love you and love the things you love more in the coming days than ever in our lives. And Lord, I want to just ask right now, as only you could define it, a special blessing on every individual's life in this place. On those who are watching by live stream, would you touch them in a special way? Would you, oh God, as only you could by your Spirit, make this real in the lives of each one? And if today somebody needs to receive you as Savior and Lord of their heart, may they accept you this day and receive you as they pray a prayer of repentance, authentic repentance. May they find your forgiveness and may salvation come to their heart this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor, please? Brother David leads us.